Just a reminder that these words are meant for the children in our midst. And if you consider yourself to be a child of God, God bless you too. But we are here trying to remember and to focus our lives in a way that every person in this room might understand and claim for him or herself that Christ is Lord. It is hard to find a picture of John Wesley smiling. And this is the closest I have been able to come. He has just a little whisper of a smile on his face. And God bless him. I don't think he was an unhappy person, but I do believe he was very, very serious, because every picture that I have come across has a very serious expression. You know, he started Methodism as a renewal movement. That is, that the church that he was a part of, the Anglican Church, the Church of England. Children, are you listening to me here? All right, I just want to make sure. All right, here we go. The Anglican Church, the Church of England that John Wesley was trying to ignite and to make lively and filled with the Spirit of God once again, had become very, very mundane in all of its expressions of worship. And John Wesley saw this as being a terrible tragedy, that there was not this vibrancy within worship and service in the communities of England. He called people specifically to pray with commitment. He called them to worship with deep passion as a part of their coming into the sanctuary and gathering with others who also were coming to lift up God's name in praise. He called them to care for those that were in need, rather than simply to think about those that were in need, or to be thankful for others who cared for those people that were in need. He actually called Methodists to care for those that were in need. And he called Methodists to meet together as often as they possibly could in order to encourage each other and to hold each other accountable to that which would make someone Christian. It is so easy to call ourselves Christian and not to look very Christian in the way that we act, the things that we say, the things that we do. All of this, this prayer, this worship, this care, this meeting together, all of this allows God to clean us up and to use us for his purposes. Now, when I was in the fourth grade, and that was a long, long time ago, when I was in the fourth grade, I remember that our principal, this was in Macon, Georgia, at the old Alexander Ford School there, the principal selected me and one other student to clean the erasers. Now, that may seem like a mighty small task, but when he got us involved in doing this work, he said, "Now, I want to just tell you that this is not just the erasers in your classroom. This is the erasers in the entire school." And so every Friday afternoon, me and my friend would journey down into the basement where there was this little machine that was supposed to vacuum out, to shake and dust the erasers. Now, children today, you probably don't even know what a chalkboard is, do you? But because so many of the teachers use marker boards, But in our day and age, you would use chalk and that dust would get all over the board, and then it would get all over the erasers when you tried to remove the marks from the board. And those erasers were absolutely filled with dust. When we would try to clean these erasers, we were successful in getting the dust off of the erasers and on to us. It went everywhere. The dust was thick in that little room. What a dusty job we had. It was something that needed to be done. But another thing that I can remember my mother told me when I would get home on Friday afternoons is, we need to clean you up. We need to get the dust off of you. Wesley knew that Methodists needed to be cleaned up. All of us need this. We need this sense of renewal. We need this sense of moving in a new and purposeful way to cleanse ourselves and to move forward in Christ again. And he borrowed this service from those who were seeking to do just that. Knocking the dust off at the beginning of the year is a very good practice. Have you done that yet? In the words of this service, you and I have been given the opportunity to knock the dust off and to move forward in the grace of God. Okay, another thought. I love Play-Doh, don't you? I do. Our grandchildren have so much fun with it that before they arrive at our house, we always have to go and purchase a new supply of Play-Doh because it has dried out since the time before that they've been there, and they've mixed all the colors together, and it's just a mess. But I love Play-Doh because you can do anything you want to with Play-Doh, right? You can make anything. Now, this is an important question that I have for not only the children, but the adults here today. Can you remember the last thing that you made from Play-Doh? Now, are there any children that remember the last thing that they made from Play-Doh? What did you make, Claire? Help me a little louder. What was that? A baby chick. That is so cool. I bet it was neat. I bet you really it was something that you were proud of when you made it. Okay, and so let's try this. Is there another child that remembers what they've made? Can you remember what you made with Play-Doh? You know, the last thing I remember making, and this is the easiest thing to make, a snake. You just roll it out, you know. In fact, if you want to call it a worm, you can also call it a worm. But you just roll it out, you know, and there it lays there. Let's ask Bernie Martin if he remembers the last thing he made from Play-Doh. Bernie, you are an architect, and I'm sure that you have experimented with Play-Doh. Do you remember the last thing that you made from Play-Doh? A snowman. You are making this up as we're going, are you not? Think about this for just a moment. It is so easy to get lost in our serious world of serving the Lord that we forget the playfulness and the creativity of God bless us, the children that know how to do this better than we do. You remember that Jesus said, no one's going to enter into the kingdom of God unless they do it like a child, right? So where does that come in? It comes in with all of us being willing to be this creative entity. I do believe that you can just about make anything that you set your mind out to make with Play-Doh. The most important thing is that you observe some patience and some concentration and give it an effort. Give it a try. If you never touch Play-Doh, it is pretty hard to make something out of Play-Doh. Walmart should have a run on Play-Doh this afternoon. Every time you make something, you put a little bit of yourself into it. I can remember not only making a snake, I can remember making a crocodile. Now, I don't know that anybody else would have been able to tell that it was a crocodile, but I knew that it was a crocodile. It was a Bill Bagwell crocodile. I can remember making a car. Now, it wasn't like any car that I've ever driven, but it was a car made out of Play-Doh. I can remember, raise your hand if you've ever made a house out of Play-Doh. Have you ever done that? Sure, that's fun to do, isn't it? And to imagine living in that house. Every person that sculpts Play-Doh comes at it differently and has a different result. Do you know that God is working on us like a potter working with clay? Look at this next image and see if you can imagine what a potter does when the clay is spinning on the wheel. Every pot, even though it may be similar, there are differences to everything that comes from the potter's hand. Someday I want to do this. The Apostle Paul says something important in these words of instruction. He said, don't be conformed to this world. Don't do things the same way everybody else is doing it. I'm going to say that again. Don't do things the way everybody else is doing it. Because what God wants to do is to transform us in a creative way in order that we can be renewed in mind and spirit for His purposes. Now, we're coming in on the end of this sermon, so pay attention. I might say something important, okay? God's work in us is so, so very creative. But the more you are aware that God is shaping you, the more you will want to be transformed. Think about this just a moment. The more you are aware that God is shaping you, the more you will want to be transformed to be good and acceptable and perfect. And I believe that God, the potter, steps back and says, I like what I made. In fact, doggone it, I love what I made.